You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Stacey Gatsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees. Welcome. It is Wednesday, August 18th, and for the first time since May 30th, your New York Yankees are technically in a playoff position. Sure, it's percentage points, but they're there, thanks to a sweep in their doubleheader against the Red Sox. It was a good day at Yankee Stadium yesterday. I can't speak. I only had one cup of coffee. I'll be honest with you. I need at least three to function, and yeah, one is not cutting it right now. So yeah, yesterday was a good day for the Yankees. Lots of stuff happening. Lots of quotes for you. Luke Voit had some things to say after the game. We'll talk about that. Not bad. He's a baseball player. He's a competitor. He had things to say about the Anthony Rizzo trade and his feelings about it. Giancarlo Stanton said some things. Again, positive. Nothing bad. What I liked from hearing these quotes, the fact that these guys are hungry. They know what they need to do. And I've been telling you all year that you needed to wait for the Yankees to play like the Yankees. And that's what they've been doing lately. So we'll talk about the doubleheader sweep. I'll preview tonight's mashup. Andrew Heaney, as Joe's McFly from John Boy Media said, if the Red Sox don't win tonight's game against Andrew Heaney, they might need to pack it in. It might be over for them because, So no offense to the Red Sox. So you can listen to this show, obviously, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Audacity. You can play it on your smart device by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. You can see me on YouTube. And if you're watching right now, you can see me. And this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. So download the Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. So let's discuss yesterday. I know I went into the first game because I did yesterday's show between the two games of the doubleheader, but we'll talk about both games because the Yankees are playing like a team who should be in the playoffs. This is the team that we've been waiting for all season. Even in games where they can't score that much, like last night's game, just two solo home runs, that's it. They still manage to win the game. And this is what we've been waiting for. This is what I told you to wait for. I told you. I don't mean to pat myself on the back here, but I told you. I've been watching baseball for way too long to give up on this team. People were giving up on them in May, in June, and acting as if they've never watched baseball before. It's a long season. It is a really long season, and you know things can turn on a dime. And it doesn't even have to be a long process for things to turn on a dime. We saw it happen just now with the Red Sox. It took a month for them to relinquish a 9-game lead against the Yankees. And now the Yankees have their destiny in their hands, especially if they can come out tonight and beat the Red Sox. Plus the A's lost again. So the Yankees are right there in the second wild card spot. So things are happening for them. So let's look at last night's game, because, as I said, two solo home runs, one by Luke Voit, Abbo Taco, and Giancarlo Stanton. Now, Stanton, the thing that struck me about his home run, and Jack Curry said it as well on the post game on Yes, he looked at a strike for the first pitch. He swung at a pitch for the second strike, because he fouled it off, but it was really bad. He was so late on it. And then he crushed a curveball from Eovaldi, 440 feet. And just, it was one of those, I wouldn't say it was a turning point, but it was one of those moments where you think, something's happening with this team, you know? Like, even though they didn't score that much in the game, it just still felt like something's happening with this team. Something good is happening with this team. And with the way they're pulling out wins, I know they're not sweeping everyone. You know, they haven't gone on a 20-game winning streak. But for the most part, the way they're winning games and pulling out games. This is the team we were waiting for. So I'm very excited about this. As for everyone else, let's go through because Luis Gil pitched last night's game. And this is three straight starts to open his career in which he has not given up an earned run, or a run for that matter. And he has more than 18 strikeouts. He's the first player to do this since they started keeping track of it back in 1901. That's pretty amazing. That's cool. Now, he didn't pitch long enough to get the win. He pitched 4 2/3, gave up 3 hits. Now, he walked 4, struck out 4. So those 4 walks could have bitten him in the rear, and they didn't. So that shows you how different things are right now between the Yankees and the Red Sox, because if this was a month ago and the Red Sox had 4 walks against the Yankee starter, you're guaranteed that they would have scored at least 2 runs in that instance. Wandy Peralta picked up the win in 1 1/3, gave up 2 hits. Chad Green closed out the game, pitched an inning. I'll say I was a little worried about that. We've seen Chad Green kind of have a home run issue, sort of. Not all the time. He goes through phases. And as much as the Red Sox are falling back to earth, they're still scary. You know, there are still some guys in that lineup when they come up, you think to yourself, ugh. And the Yankees were able to hold them down in last night's game. So, yeah, things are turning around for the Yankees at the right, at the perfect time. This is when you want things to turn around. There's about 6 or 7 weeks left in the season, and things are clicking for them. And the amazing thing is they don't have everyone. You know, Rizzo still isn't back. Clay Holmes still isn't back, so the bullpen is short someone. You know, Luis Severino, Corey Kluber. Oh, and that's another thing. There was a stat I saw this morning. The Yankees starters in their last 38 games have an ERA of 2.94. And that even counts Andrew Heaney's starts. So if Andrew Heaney wasn't in there, the Yankee starters have been doing a job lately. So that's amazing. Now, speaking of doing a job, no, I'm kidding. That's a very bad segue. I'm not even going to do it. So as I said, this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with me, with other fans, athletes, insiders, all in real time about the Yankees. I'm going to try and host rooms for Green Room. I'm slacking. I know I am. So I'm going to try and do it for the Twins this weekend because the Twins are bad. The Yankees are good. It might be a fun time to do it because maybe the Yankees will beat up on them. But Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like yourself on Green Room for watch parties, which is what I do, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to big news or rumors. So you'll have a chance to chat with me, and you might even have a chance to be featured on this show. So be sure to join me this weekend. I'll let you guys know later in the week when I'm doing it. Download the Green Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group. That's the important part. And you'll get the latest league updates. Follow me at Stace Gotts. I made it easy for you. It's just like my Twitter name. And you'll be notified when my room goes live. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts about how the Yankees are doing, because there's a big difference between how the Yankees are doing now and how they were doing the last time I did a Green Room. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So let's talk about the afternoon game, because that, I said it in yesterday's show. I still can't believe that Jonathan Loaisiga did what he did. I mean, really, that was so impressive. And I kind of want to say this, but I don't want to say it. When he gave up all those hits at Fenway, you know, Loaisiga was doing really well. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't get anyone out at Fenway in the bottom of an inning, in the bottom of a late inning in the game, when the team wasn't doing anything And then all of a sudden, against one of the Yankees' better relievers, they start hitting all these balls out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say about that. You know what I'm alluding to. I don't trust Alex Cora as far as I can throw him. I tell Sully this all the time. Sully, the host of Locked On MLB, is a big Red Sox fan. And if you've listened to us on his show or on any other podcast that we've done, he always likes to bring up 2004 just to dig at me every single time. We did a podcast about the movie Xanadu, and he still brought up the 2004 ALCS. So it's gotten to the point now, no offense, Sully, I know he's watching this and listening. It's gotten to the point where he asks me to be on a show and I sometimes turn him down because I don't want to hear about 2004. I really don't. It was 17 years ago. It's done. We're done. And since then, the Red Sox have won a ton of World Series and the Yankees have only won one. So, you know, we're way past it. And let's just stop talking about it. So Loaisiga, again, I mean, God, you all, when the bases were loaded with no outs, you all thought to yourselves, oh God, someone's hitting a grand slam. Someone is hitting a grand slam. The Yankees are going to blow this game. Because not only was it that, the Yankees were 4-for-12. Is that what they were? 4-for-12 with runners in scoring position. And every time they left all those guys on base, I was thinking to myself, this is going to be bad. This is going to come back to bite them in the rear. And it didn't. For once against the Red Sox. And I said this in my post-game video last night. The fortunes are changing. The bad things that used to happen to the Yankees are not happening anymore. Thank God. Because a month ago, they would have given up a grand slam. They would have gone into that inning 5-3. You're thinking, okay, here we go. We can win the first game of the doubleheader. And then boom. I saw it happen against the Angels when Aroldis Chapman gave up that grand slam to, was it Walsh? I believe it was Walsh. That was, I was so excited to be at Yankee Stadium. It's my first game in nearly 2 years. The Yankees have a big lead. Aroldis Chapman comes in. And before you know it, and I said to my brother, when the bases were loaded, I said, he's giving up a grand slam right here. And my brother said, no, that's not happening. Next pitch. And we had the perfect view of it because we were sitting in, what section was it? 111. So you could see the ball travel into the outfield, kind of like, woo, or well, that way. And so that's what I was envisioning, even with Jonathan Loaisiga, because as I said, that game at Fenway, where he gave up all those runs, just didn't feel right. Something was fishy about it. And I will say this every time. Those comebacks were not legit. I don't care. I don't care what anyone says. I don't trust Alex Cora at all. I really don't. I don't know how people overlook this either. People act like it's totally normal that the Red Sox were playing above their heads all season. All these guys who weren't expected to hit were having career years up to a certain point. Guys you've never heard of. Who are these guys? Why are they hitting so well? And now they're falling back to earth. Did the Apple Watches stop working? Anyway, let's go back to the rest of this game. So Jordan Montgomery came back from the COVID list, pitched 4 2/3, gave up 3 runs. He started off strong and then kind of fell apart slightly, but he's alive. You know, he's feeling better from having COVID. The one number that's good, 6 strikeouts. So, you know, in 4 2/3, 6 strikeouts is a good number. Now, he did give up a home run to Vasquez in the 5th inning. That kind of did him in. But the Yankees came back in the bottom of the 5th and scored 3 to make it 5-3, stayed that way for the rest of the game. Again, Jonathan Loaisiga kind of made things scary for all of us and then made things very exciting for all of us by striking out. Oh God, who was it? Now I can't remember who it was, but he got a strikeout at the end of the game, was all pumped up. Gary Sanchez was pumped up. Everyone was pumped up. at the stadium, except Red Sox fans, obviously. And obviously not Red Sox players, but yeah, that's what's supposed to happen when Jonathan Loaiza goes on the mound. He's supposed to shut people down. He's not supposed to give up four hits in a row, doubles and everything else. That's just not what's supposed to happen. So yeah, it was a big, big, big doubleheader sweep. The Yankees needed it. The Yankees got it. And now tonight they're looking for a full sweep of this three-game set. I'll have that preview in the next segment. But first, we have to talk about Built Bar. I want you to know, if you're watching this, and if you're listening, you know, because you've heard me talk about this all the time, but I love Built Bar. I really do. Mint brownie is my favorite flavor. I could eat that every day for the rest of my life. Did you know that they have a lot of delicious flavors and there's something for everyone? You have coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. And if you haven't tried any of the flavors, you can get a mixed box. You get two of each of the nine flavors, and then you can decide what your favorite flavor is. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bars, but they're healthy too. You got high protein, low calorie, low sugar. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the track and field team for the US. That's pretty cool. So go to built.com, use our promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. I recommend the mixed box. You try everything. Just try everything. See what you like, what you don't like, and then you can just order boxes of the flavors that you like. Again, use our promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off at built.com. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. Actually, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. We only have 6 or 7 weeks left, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, tonight... I don't mean to laugh. I feel bad. I feel bad for Andrew Heaney. It's not like he's coming out and thinking, I'm going to pitch like crap tonight. I'm going to give up four home runs. You know, I know he's trying his best and it's just not working. And, you know, the possibility of what the Red Sox can do against him is really scary. So Heaney's numbers, let's get into them. 7-8. With a 5.78 ERA in 109 innings. Now, the good thing is, whoops, my voice just doing there. He struck out 131 in those 109 innings. So he has the stuff. You know, he makes guys look silly on certain pitches. But when he makes a mistake, and I said this in another show, but he makes a mistake, it's bad. It's kind of like the pitch that Eovaldi made to Stanton last night. Heaney will make a mistake like that and it'll be crushed. There are other pitchers who could make mistakes and the batter will just miss, you know, foul it off, do something. But it seems as if anytime Heaney makes a mistake, the ball leaves the park. And that's his problem. But his other stuff, you know, sometimes you see the batters just swing away at his breaking stuff and you're thinking, wow, that's actually really good. And then, you know, he gives up three home runs. So his last seven games, he's 2-1 with a 4.84 ERA. That's 22 and a third innings, 12 earned runs, 20 hits, 7 walks, 24 strikeouts. And again, against the White Sox. On the 12th in the Field of Dreams game, 5 innings, 7 earned runs on 5 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. So, yeah, I don't understand him. He's confounding. That's the word for Andrew Heaney. Because he has the stuff to be a pretty good pitcher. It's just, he just can't put it all together. And I kind of hope somehow that being with someone like Gerrit Cole, having Matt Blake be his pitching coach, I just want them to unleash Andrew Heaney if there's a possibility for them to do that. Now, going up against him or his counterpart in the game is Nick Pivetta. He's 9-5 with a 4.20 ERA. I won't say it. In 124 and one-third innings, and he has 139 strikeouts in those 124 and one-third innings. In his last seven games, he's 3-2 with a 3.69 ERA, and that's in 39 innings on the nose, 16 earned runs on 30 hits, 12 walks, 40 strikeouts. His last game against Baltimore was a win. He pitched six innings, gave up one run on three hits, two walks, eight strikeouts. So let's see. Yeah, the Yankees could get to him. And Pivetta is another big guy. He's 6'5". Where are all these guys coming from? I was talking to my mother about this, and I've talked about this on the show many times, and I'm going to talk about it again. In the last, the last decade or so, it doesn't even feel like it's been that long. It used to be where guys who were 6'4 and 6'5 were rare. Like, they were considered huge. Well, remember, okay, let's talk about this. Let's go back a long time. When it was Nomar, A-Rod, Jeter, when those guys came up, they were all shortstops and huge, all 6'2", 6'3", and this was unheard of. You had Cal Ripken, but he was also kind of like a rare breed of shortstop. And then it became normal for these guys to be big. And now you see DJ LeMahieu playing second base. He's 6'4". That's a big dude. The Yankees outfield by themselves, if they put Joey Gallo, Giancarlo Stanton, and Aaron Judge together, you have a 6'7", 6'6", 6'5". Those are big boys. You have pitchers who are 6'8". Stephen Writing is a 6'8". Andrew Miller, 6'8". And it's funny because sometimes you can tell these guys are really big. You know, because when you're watching a game on TV and certain angles show the pitcher from behind and you see how long their legs are and you're thinking to yourself, wow, that looks like a very tall guy. And then you look him up on either Baseball Reference or, you know, the MLB app on your phone and you see that they're 6'7", 6'8", and you're thinking, whoa, they're much bigger than I thought they were. And it's just amazing to me how big some of these guys are. And that it's becoming normal. And when you see guys like Rougui Odor next to the bigger guys on the team, even when you see the Yankees doing the line where they're congratulating themselves after a win, and you see this line of huge guys, and then you see the little guys next to them, and they're not even little. These guys are normal size, but they look tiny next to an Aaron Judge and a Giancarlo Stanton. And it's just, it's amazing to me. Now, speaking of Stanton, he had some things to say, and I'm going to read the quotes because I can't put the clips here because, you know, you just can't do it. And Luke Voit had some things to say yesterday to the reporters. And I have to say, you know what? I like that he was honest. He was very honest. You like to see that from a ball player. He basically was saying that he was pissed when the Yankees got Anthony Rizzo. And that's understandable. These guys are competitive. Now, I know he's not going to, treat Rizzo badly because they're teammates. And he knows that Rizzo can help the team win, but he feels that he can help the team win. So this is what he had to say. I want to play. Obviously, I know it's going to be tougher with Rizzo, but I deserve to play just as much as he does. I led the league in home runs last year, and I feel really good again. Then he also said about the team, it's a great feeling to look at the standings now, but we've had the same mentality all year. We've had a lot of guys step up for us. I believed in everyone in this clubhouse. These guys know what to do in a big situation. Now back to the Rizzo thing. Voit has a point, but I understand why the Yankees got Anthony Rizzo. The Yankees really needed, before the trade deadline, they were in desperate need of left-handed bats. They had gotten Joey Gallo. And then the Rizzo thing, I said it at the time, that was a shocking move, mainly because he was linked to other teams. You didn't think the Yankees would go after them. You figured they would wait for Voit to come back and be healthy. But I think they saw the opportunity to put another big left-handed bat in the lineup. And when you look at the lineup with Rizzo healthy and Gallo, it looks like a Joe Torre lineup. Left, right, left, right, left, right, instead of right, 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 right. You know? So I understand why the Yankees did it. I also understand Luke Voit's point. But Giancarlo Stanton added his two cents and said that he believes the team is the best with him in the outfield. It would lead to more playing time for Voit once Anthony Rizzo returns. And he said, that's where me in the outfield comes into play. Now, if I know I joked, and if you've listened to the show all year, I joked about the fact that if you saw Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield, something really bad happened to someone. But he's played in the outfield a few times, and nothing bad has happened. Oh, God. Do I have wood near me? No. So there we go. I don't want to jinx him. But he feels the team can be better, and the team can be better. Okay, think of the lineup with Rizzo, Gallo, Stanton, Voit, Judge, Sanchez. Like, think of all the big bats that can turn on a ball and hit the snot out of them. So you have Stanton in, where would they put him? Left? Right? I would think left. Judge center, Gallo right, Luke Voit at DH, Anthony Rizzo at first base. There you go. And then if you need to rest someone, or if there's a pitcher where the matchup is better for Voit to face them to start, you could put Voit at first base, Rizzo in the DH spot. There's a whole bunch of things to do. So the Yankees are in good shape. They really are. I am very excited for what this team can do heading into the stretch run, because I think we're pretty much there right now, aren't we? You know, it's August 18th. This is the stretch run. You have 6-7 weeks left. They're in a playoff spot, and yeah, things are happening. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on the Yankees doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast. Spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We'd really appreciate it. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And yeah, that's it. Enjoy your Wednesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.